Struggling the soul, feeling like you're nothing. We got a word and that is a sure thing. Don't believe in fake, activate your faith. We're the real ones and we got you. We got you.
Hi, my real ones. Welcome, 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 welcome to August. Before we go any further, I know this. You are all tired of me coming on here saying I'm sorry for not recording. But listen, this time it was an oversight. Literally. Hear me out. So I am aware that I have committed to uploading an episode every 2 weeks, but life got so crazy that I didn't even realize that 2 weeks had elapsed until August. I just realized, say, girl, you only did one episode in July, and that was literally like a part two of an episode. Like, what has happened? So that's when I realized that, Girl, you need to slow your roll. You need to slow your horses. And so we're here. So based on what I've said, I am so, so sorry. And with the help of God, I'm really going to do my best with showing up. With showing up, because you're my family. And I don't want to lose the momentum. Also, in the event that this is the first time that you're listening to Nasanta's Reel, me very, very happy say you have picked up this podcast however or wherever you found it, and you've decided to participate in this real journey. You have made no mistake. You have literally made no mistake. This is a community, a real community, fully transparent. And yeah, we're here for you. We're here for you. Shakira Nasantala is here for you, is all I'm gonna say. So, as you can see, gonna be talking about a topic that is real. It impacts me. And the aim is to be really transparent about this. It's a topic that's close to my heart. And to some extent, I know that talking about it will be a form of therapy, but in so doing, I am hoping that the Spirit of God will speak back to me so that I can speak to you while I share what I will share. Yeah? So don't stop listening. We're going to go deeper in the real pain of losing a friend. For some, this topic will be a trigger topic, and something that I've learned from the last series that we did. You know, I have father wounds with my homegirl. You know, I've picked up that it's good to give warning. So, putting it out there before we go any further, that if at any point you feel a bit triggered or so, it's okay to stop listening and go do something else, to stop, to pause and pray. And if the Spirit of God bids you to come back, then come back. All right. So I don't know exactly where this will turn to, but I do know that losing a friend can be very detrimental. And how I'm going to even talk about this is losing a friend who's still living. But for some who hear the terminology, losing a friend, you may start remembering the different individuals that you've lost along the way. And so, like I said, if this is a trigger topic, then you have my full support in pausing. And if you never ever want to listen again, I can understand. But I do hope that you listen. It's kind of contradicting, but the fact is your mental health matters, your emotional health matters. So yeah, I respect it. All right. Losing a friend. If we should be really, really honest, I've lost a lot of friends. So for me, this topic shouldn't even be the real pain of losing a friend. It would be more the real pain of losing friends. And even as I say this, I'm kind of getting a little bit emotional. My eye kind of want to do something like say to cut onion or whatever it is. But it's something that has happened to me time and time again in various stages of my life. And I'm almost 25 and I'm still not used to it. I have to be constantly, going to God in prayer about how I feel the effects of losing a friend. And in some ways, I recognize that I played an integral part, as well as there were other parts where I prayed that God would remove some people, not realizing, like, be like, oh God, remove the people that were not supposed to be in my life. And then, bam, he just does a thing. And I realized that I never pray for, say, God, cover my heart or allow this thing to go this way or that way. Just like, bam, like ripping off a band-aid, like, ouch, painful, right? So for me, I realized that this has been a great cycle in my life since childhood, where from basic school, always been changing friendships. But at that time, I never realized that it was like a toxic cycle. The same happened in primary school. Like at different levels, my friendship groups would change. This minute, I'm like besties with somebody, and the next minute it's like, And I think it got really bad in high school, where, you know, in grade 7, I had maybe 2 best friends, and like December, me and one of them, we fell right out over a guy. Like, I had liked the guy, she had liked the guy indicated that he liked me, and if I remember clearly, we were quote-unquote in a relationship, though forced. That's a story for another time. They're younger me, we should talk about that. But that relationship was not a relationship, but it was a relationship. It was just like texting, talking on the phone, me calling, because he didn't have a phone. We were sibling for a bit. He didn't have a phone, so calling his mom, hey, can I talk to your son? Like, literally calling the mom. What a piece of audacity me did have, he? My God. But anyway, let's get back on track. That's a story for another time. I didn't remember until now. Man, my friend fell out, like, because he ended up liking me and I chose him, and she's like, but you know I liked him, you're with him now, you're not a good friend, blah blah blah. But eventually things never end with the guy, and me and my friend make things up back and stuff. Thankfully never stay long. Then I had this other best friend. I don't remember if we fell out, but I do know that she left the school. Then in grade 8, I had to have another best friend. One time we fell out, or maybe more than one time. Then I had other friends, we fell out. I've just been an emotional wreck of falling out with people. Same with grade 9, constantly going to my mother about how me and my friends stopped talking, realizing that sometimes I have to be the bigger person, going to the person saying I'm sorry. And to this day, I kid you not, my brother constantly teases me that whenever I fall out with my friends, I go back crying like, I'm sorry. But that's because I see the importance of fixing things, right? So it's good that, you know, from an earlier age, I've had that energy. Like, it's so hard to keep mollies with people. I don't know how people do it. Anyway, moving forward, grade 10, my friends from grade 9 to grade 10 continued and to 11. And eventually had a best friend, moved on to college. Man, that best friend, well, I had several best friends. Anyway, my mother always teach me this thing, and I can see this literally playing out in my life, where every friend has another friend. So I'd be there crying, saying, oh, that friend of blah, blah, blah. Like, every friend have another friend. And the same is true to me, right? So by college, one of my friends was like, I don't think we're close anymore, and this and that. And to be honest, I cried. That was like a long message. It felt like we were breaking up. Like, I don't know what y'all say, but friendship breakups are harder and hotter than relationship breakup. Nobody else can convince me. That was what, like, my biggest, hardest breakup, and it pushed us to a moment of transparency. And I think from there we said we're just gonna be sisters. Laughing. Anyway, moving forward, university now. Went there with a friend. She became my close friend. At the time, like, I'm no longer doing titles. I've been scarred. No longer doing titles. Then eventually in second year, added to my friendships, had another close friend. And then by third year, first part, me and the first year, second year friend them fully followed. That's a story and a half. And then had to navigate getting other friends in the second semester. Recognized that some of those other friends I didn't want to be friends with. So by final year, change friending groups again, right? And then post-university, change friend group. Then post-university, start working, change friend group. And it's just been like that. So that, if in on of itself, when you really and truly think about it, it's kind of like a person who doesn't resolve their issues in a relationship, and they just keep seeking somebody else. And it's not until talking about this thus far I realize the core issue of the past, right? So yeah, losing, always having to start over. Now we're going to focus on how I navigated all of that and some lessons that I can pull out from this to share and to help and so on and so forth, and see where the Spirit of God leads. All right. So, you know, based on the wolipa hula baloo that we may just share, wolipa friendships that friends get lost in the process, to the point where there were even some close friends that I even forgot were close friends. And a takeaway lesson that I've always learned is that my mother always told me, you don't need to be friends with everybody. Not everybody is your friend. But I never understood that until last year, 2022, when I read the book called Relational Intelligence by Dr. Darius Daniels, where he was breaking down, you know, who's in our inner circle, using the Jesus chart. That's not the term that I want to use. Jesus model of how he had his inner circle. He had his acquaintances, you know, which would have been like the other 9 disciples who weren't so buddy-buddy with God, and like the other people like Lazarus and so on. And then you had the 72, and then you have the 5,000 plus and everything. And in my life, I wanted even persons online to feel like they're my friends and stuff like that. I realized that was just so burdening. That was just so toxic. And I would have felt bad if I realized that persons no longer wanted to be friends with me and so on. Like, it really, really messed me up. And in reading that book, it gave me freedom. So it gave me freedom to then do an audit of my relationships with people, how to categorize people in my life. And I am saying this was very, very helpful. We literally need to know how to structure people in our lives. And yes, there are times when we feel bad that we are not in the close circle of another, but the fact is we can't control people. Likewise, people can't necessarily control us and how how the persons that we allow to be maintained in our cycle, they, if somebody have a problem, we're gonna say, why have a problem? It's my life. So it is that we can't go around and be like, yo, I'm supposed to be this in your life and whatever, whatever. Like, you have to make me that way. Like, yeah, nothing is wrong with expressing that you feel hurt about the changing dynamics, but don't feel like you're that entitled to tell somebody how it is that they should structure. So that's literally one of the hardest lessons that I've learned in adulthood, you know, especially knowing that there were some people who I thought they would have been really, really good friends with me even to know, you know, even going into navigating a family life, that I could tell these kids that, hey, this is your aunt. I met them literally things that I'm on and call him auntie or uncle and stuff like that. But the fact of the matter is that life doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. People will come and go, and as hard as it is to admit it, it's okay. It is okay. Shakira, it's okay. And there's a specific, well, there are two specific friendships that have truly, truly affected me even to know, or maybe there are more, but significantly right now that I have to still be in prayer about. And one of them ended like nearly 2 years now. And as often as I can, I have to still be praying about it. You know, and that's something that I will literally encourage someone who has lost a friend and that friend is still living, or you lost a friend, that friend has passed, and you're still hurt by the fact that this person is not here to share in your ups and in your downs, right? When you are a child of God and you have reached that point where you hand over even your circle to God and you see switches in dynamics, yes, be hurt, but still remember that your life is in the life of the Father. It's in the life, the hands of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who sees all and knows all. And this is a promise. This fact about God is something that has helped me to navigate, because then he reminds me of the moments, because I prayed a lot. I mean, I don't know if I same with you, maybe that's the reason, I don't know, where you constantly say, God, if there's anybody in my life that should not be here, take them out. And then people start disappear from left to right. This is something that has constantly happened in my life. And I really just have to say, God, I trust you. I trust you. And no, I can, even though I'm hurt and I'm learning how to balance accepting those that God has now placed, it's still, the fact still remains, I'm gonna feel hurt, right? But one thing for sure is that the Lord Almighty, he will pick our friends. He will align our friends that we should choose if we allow him to do so. And that's something that I've learned thus far, and I'm grateful. I am very, very much grateful for it, right? So there is that aspect of losing a friend. There's this other part of how I've lost friends, you know, where life got very, very difficult for me to navigate in some areas, right? But even before that, we're going to retract for a bit. Remember thinking that I could be friends with everybody, not realizing that that is so draining. And the persons who I really, really wanted to show up for, by the time I would get to them, I had absolutely no energy. So it's like you're trying to show up for persons who want mentorship from you, right? You're showing up for acquaintances. You're showing up for online community and so on. But the persons who really deserve certain efforts, not getting it. And like I said, very much guilty of that. Then life also took a toll, not being able to constantly reach out and so forth, like the conversation did. And something that I've recognized is that, and you have to realize what works for you. Is it how, okay, how do your friendships thrive? Do they thrive when you're in close proximity with these persons? Do they thrive when you have something common? Is there a specific goal that you're working on? Is it because of common interest? Like, what makes your friendships thrive? Because the absence of it means that it may become terrible, right? So in my life, for instance, because we're being real about Nasanta Shakira, I realized that for me to text and call, it's not always feasible. However, if we have a project or so that we're really working on, that we have to be in constant communication, that have to make the extra effort to show up for, then you get a lot out of me. But if we're not chatting nothing with sense, and we're not making plans, we're not this, we're not that, it really suffocates me. And for many friendships, and I feel like I'm going to get a backlash for this, but yeah, for many friendships that I had, it was like that. Or it was a case where maybe I stopped reaching out first, and they just decided that, oh, she don't reach out, so I'm not reach out. And sometimes it really was because I'm not of a member or some, like, I realized there was a tectonic shift when I started working. I work in communications and PR and whatever. So by the time when I get home, like, I'm too tired for talk to nobody. And so on. So that lack of understanding kind of left for some areas and stuff like that. Right? And then there are some friendships or acquaintanship or whatever you want to call it, relationships, dynamics, where even if we don't talk a lot, some people just don't hold it over my head. And I don't do the same with people, right? The fact is, and yeah, people say, oh, you're just using that to justify or whatever. But it is a fact that relationships are going to change. We are going to have friends who are just going to be there for a season, and some who are going to be there for just a time, right? We have to use the spirit of discernment, you know, with the help of God, to navigate when we're holding on to moments with people where we need to really and truly let go of, really. And God has shown me that and has really had to help me to let go, to show me that, okay, when you were in university, you needed that person to get to this point, and that's okay. And even in showing me all of that, he literally has delivered me from holding on negatively to how things would have ended, to say, embrace those moments. Embrace it for what it was, because it did happen and it was good. So don't walk around regretting, oh, I wish we weren't friends. I wish I never met you. Blah, 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 blah. And I say that now to you, that if it's the case where you have lost someone who was dear to you, don't walk with your head down thinking, oh, better if we never meet or whatever. Free people. Freedom. Is give thanks. I give thanks so much to God for the persons who I've lost, and I feel the grace to share this, that with the friendship that I lost in my third year, first semester, it was messed up. It was a messed up. But before that, I had prayed to God to say, God, if these people aren't for me, let them out of my life. Let them go on. And it was literally a life and death situation where I would have shared in other podcasts episode where I took an edible weed gummy. You know, they were encouraging me to take it. I didn't want to take it, but then I gave in because I wanted them to stop saying, yo, take some, blah, blah, blah. Gave in, got high. They left me by myself, right? And when I was high, I will never forget it. I looked out and I said, are these people really my friends? Are these my friends? These people can't be my friends. No. My friends can't be doing this to me. And in that moment, I realized that these people will never be my friends. And one of them said to me, but I feel like it wasn't even her talking. I feel like it was a spirit, God, spiritual, saying your mother shouldn't have known. The only time your mother should have known is if a daddy really did a dead and fraud did a come out to your mouth. I'll never forget that. And I knew from then on that we could never be friends anymore. But then there was a struggle. The Lord has bid us not to be in malice with anybody. But how do I navigate this? How do I navigate it when my at university or program is so small and everybody's kind of like family? This will shift up the dynamics of how everyone relates to each other and stuff like that, if they allow it to pick sides and stuff like that. Anyway, I did see dynamic shifts. There were times when I would be there with friends of their friends and they would come around and I just feel bad. I don't know what to say. I shut up my mouth. And I had this weird feeling. I was filled with anxiety. And that's what happens sometimes when we lose a friend. We get anxious. How do we navigate? What will life be like again? I went into a very dark pit of depression. But I give God thanks that in that dark pit, I learned how to find God. So yes, I encourage you to allow God to come forth. He promises that he's close to the brokenhearted. So it is quite possible to be brokenhearted by these things. So allow God to come in. So moving forward, I would always be like, God, please help me not to hate these people. Like, these were my prayer. God, help me to be good. Reached out to them on their birthdays and never necessarily even want to say anything to me. And if I say, you know, I still love you. I still cherish what happened and stuff like that. And I recognize, you know, after that, that it got easier. Forcing myself to do good while asking God to give me a good heart to fulfill that good, it eventually got easier to the point where several of them reached out to me and I still decided to help when I could help. I never like broke my neck, but I still helped, you know. And lo and behold, the person who said to me, oh, your mom shouldn't have known, whatever, whatever, took about 2 to 3 years to reach out to me to apologize, to say every single day I think about our friendship, what we had, right? And I just want to say I'm sorry and please forgive me. But the thing is, I had forgiven that person a long time. I let it go. And forgiveness looks like no longer holding on to the hurt. Yes, you remember it, but no longer using the hurt to navigate how you deal with life for the bad. No longer wanting to feel like you're retaliating or having something to prove and stuff like that. Like, the Lord literally helped me to navigate that. And that was one of my greatest losses. But I give God thanks that He taught me how to deal with it, right? I give God thanks for that. But today, the hurt that I have to constantly face is moving on when you realize that though you understood the switch in dynamics with what was happening in these different friendships, now accepting that these persons have chosen other paths, other persons. And this is something that really, really triggered me earlier too, before recording this, where I saw a friend I was close to and the person was posting somebody else, you know, another friend, and things look adventurous for the individual, things look fun, and I'm like, wow, reality hit me that, man, you are no longer a close friend with this person. And in that moment, I wanted to post too, to make it seem like something not going for me too. You're not the only one who is something not going for, right? As well as the kind of persons that that person would have been hanging out with. I'm like, Jaja, you really found your tribe, and I'm just the duff, the ugly fat friend. Except I'm not fat, right? I'm the loser. And everything. But in that moment, you know, we just have to go back to God for saying, oh, help me, help me, help me, help me. And, you know, here we are. So there is that. There is that. I don't know what else I'm supposed to say. Oh, in that moment too, I felt prompted to come on here and speak. But then I'm like, but God, which biblical story can evil link this to? And then immediately afterwards, meditating, the story came to me about David and Jonathan. But in his case, Jonathan actually died. And Jonathan was somebody who was like a ride or die for David. But even though their souls were linked, they were like soulmates, friendship soulmates, just like many of us in our friendships. That friendship was just for a season. That friendship was to catapult and propel David into the next phase of his life. It sounds sad, but that's just the reality. But even in the loss, David took it upon himself to still honor Jonathan through serving and allowing Jonathan's son to sit at his table, to eat from his table. And it's the same with like Saul. I don't know if they were like friends, maybe it was like mentor mentee relationship or something like that, but even so, he still wanted to, for him to honor Jonathan, he was honoring Saul. But let's focus on him and Jonathan. So he lost him, but what did he do? He still honored his friend. And that's what we need to do. That's what I need to do. To honor the memories. To ensure that if this friend should come around, though the dynamics have changed, will I allow bitterness to supersede my feelings, or will I still serve? Will I still allow this person to have a seat at the table that I know have been blessed to have? You get me? Because the thing that I realize is that the Lord will still bless us in different areas, though we may not be connected to these persons, though they helped us to flourish, you know, certain things that we have now, and nurture certain things that we have now. We would have needed them. So we have to learn how to honor those moments. Honor their name right now. Don't talk about the stuff that you guys would have discussed before, the secrets and so on, the confidential information. Don't do that. Don't do that. Keep the honor the person by doing these things, right? If the person has descendants, don't hold it over their heads to say, oh, me and such person not talk, so me and you not talk. The person not doing nothing. In the Word of God somewhere, it talked about curses not going on to like, if a father commit the curse, then the other father if he stay with. You get me? So let us not hold these things over people's head. It is very hard. It is easier said than done. But we need to do that. We need to still pray for the person, pray that the person is okay, pray that the person is making rightful decisions. You may not be able to be in that person's space anymore, but still pray good prayers for the person. If you can cheer on the person, still cheer the person on. If it's in the Lord's will for you guys to talk now and then, reach out now and then, right? But don't act like the world has come to an end. And then lastly, in the spaces where you realize that God has literally lined you up with other people, don't let these current people pay the sins of the others, especially if the other had offended you. Don't project your hurt onto those people. That's something that I kind of did one time, and I would have didn't really want to give 100 because I'm like, you soon leave me, you soon leave me, and whatever. But God has been showing me to embrace the present, so passing that on to you. Embrace the present. If you also recognize that you have a pattern, just like how I realized I had a pattern, spend some time in God to allow God to expose what the real problem is. For me, I realized that I wanted to be validated. I wanted to feel like I'm with the in crowd and everything. I never wanted to be alone. But there's so much liberation in being alone. Earlier today, I went to a restaurant, a deli. And I was getting something, and I always visit that place. And when the person saw me, the person was like, "Wait, you're par with yourself?" So I'm like, "Yeah." First, like, "Yeah, man, me pick up, me observe that they always there by yourself." Sometimes it's good to be by yourself, but other times, if you can fix it, please to fix it. Please fix it. Right? But there, the Lord has drawn me aside to really and truly heal me. And I give him a lot of thanks for that. And the other thing too is, if you know that people are around, yes, they may not be around the way you want it to be around. But it is so disgusting when we say, "Oh, I'm not a friend." How do you think your friends feel? Like, I had quote-unquote friends who would do that. And I think there was a point where I would do that. And that was unkind. That pushes people away. It does. It really, really does. So if this is something that you're doing, I bid you to stop. Please stop it right now. Stop running away people out of saying, "Oh, me not nobody," just for saying not nobody, to then realize you literally have no one. Why? Because you're the drama. You're the drama, Shakira. Right? So pick out where you are the drama. Pick out, why is it that your friendship groups are always changing? Is it that you don't deal with conflict properly? Is it that you don't make time? What is the problem? And something I would admit is that in realizing now who my inner circle are, it freed me up. Let me tell you why, short and quick. It freed me up in the regard where before there were some people who I would have regarded, though they're like acquaintances and stuff like that, I misaligned them thinking that they're my friends. So when they started moving mad, I would have been disappointed to say, "Oh, you know, you should have known better," and whatever. But how are you going to know better when you are, even in your head, you don't even consider me a friend, right? And I think that's something that we get hurt from a lot, where even in mentorship relationship, where the spirit of friendship is there, but the mentor isn't your friend, right? And the mentor doesn't show up for you the way that you'd want the person to show up. And you get vexed, you get hurt. And that's something that did happen to me. And I'm sure it would have happened to people where I never recognized that person to be a close friend of mine or a friend overall. I just talk to you, I just know you. and do something and them just say, oh, that's why I'm a narrator, I should fake. But none of people say me fake. But it is what it is. No, it is not what it, that is not Christ-like. If you're listening, I am so, so sorry. And I am asking God to forgive me of my sins. And I hope that you will forgive me. I don't always know my offenses. So I'm saying that to you. And if you're listening and you believe that I hurt you, let's have a conversation about it. Because for me, I always want to ensure that things are fixed. If my absenteeism really hurt you, then please let me know. The chances are I may not be able to be that close to you like before, but one thing for sure is that I treasure what we had. Don't even know who I'm speaking to, but I treasure what we had. And if at all you may need help, as long as I can help you, I'll be here. I'm not really gone nowhere, except working more in the field for the Lord. But I'm still there. So it's like that. This was a whole rambling episode, I know. Next time I'll use my notes. But until then, my heart will go on singing. This is the episode, and I feel better right now. I feel better knowing that I'm not the only one who has to be navigating shifts in relationships with people and so on. And you'll find that this is something, like, when I was younger, I never really understood why my parents didn't have much quote-unquote friends. I had this bag of people who I wanted to be my friend. And the older I get, I realize that really and truly, you just need at least two good friend, like, good up friend. Or at least three. A psychologist told me around three, because you don't want to be going to that one or two person with your problem over and over again. Then we get tired of you. If you know how fit. Yeah. Yeah. Mix it up. But you don't need that many people. You don't. So to somebody who feels like you have to be friends with everybody, I pray and I hope that this will free you up from realizing you don't need that many. You just need you and God first. Then you extend it to 3 to 4, right? Then you extend that to a community. Then you extend that to a bigger community. And you have to learn who will know what. That was a problematic thing for me. So we're just going to jump on that for a while. Where, true story. Last year, I wanted to be friends with this person, a specific individual, a female, right? But I recognize that friend also had interest in a guy that I liked. But in my head, because from my, I don't know if maybe highlight it, maybe I did, I don't know, maybe my imagination will play tricks on me, wearing in my in grade 7, but they follow with one of my friend them over one guy, and then the guy move on, and to this day I don't know nothing about the guy, but I know about my friend, because we're still friends, we're still acquaintances. I don't know how to term it. We're sisters. We don't talk as much, but yeah, she's my sister that I don't interact with that regularly, but regular enough. Anyway, so yeah, I learned from that experience that never you allow a guy to come between what can happen with you and another female. Like, those things are rare. The enemy, I think the enemy attacks how females interact a lot, and especially use a guy to be in the middle of it. But the fact is, I knew the guy from before. She knew the guy from before. But I wanted peace. So anyway, reached a point where she had reached out. We clarified certain things. I said to her, I thought that you didn't like me. She's like, no, it's not that I never liked you. But I normally stay away from his friends. And so on and so forth. and his female friends and thing and thing. And then in that moment, I openly declared that, hey, when the individual was like, I want us to start over. And I'm like, yeah, I'm all here for it. But before we even go any further, I'm going to let you know that I like the guy. I like him. I like him bad, bad. No, I wasn't like that. But I expressed that I had interest in this individual. And the individual said, like, how? So I defined how interested I was in the individual. And the individual, the female individual, was like, I like that person too. From there on, we had a whole conversation. I'm not telling a lie. I felt sick. I felt sick. I felt anxious and everything like that. I did. I really did. And anyway, moving forward, I said to her that, hey, I can let go. Like, I can literally let go of this girl. I'll let go. But in that moment, we never let go yet. But fast forward into the story, things did not work out with that friendship. And at first, I felt like an idiot because I was like, I overshared. And I'm the same one coming on this reel talking about being careful of how much we share and this and that and whatever. To some extent, yeah, like I said, I felt like a puppy show. But then there was the other part that was like, it's good that this happened because now you know where you are at. And, you know, eventually things got very, very messy, got very, very much out of control. And I had to learn how to forgive that individual without the individual asking for forgiveness, constantly praying about it. Like, I had anxiety. If I saw the person, it's like, I can't breathe, like the female individual, like, I'm gonna like unresolved conflict. And even when I tried to reach out to the person aired me and so on. Longer story short, the person eventually reached out to me to say, oh, I'm not to remember the terminology. She used some terminologies to say to me, even though I also was expressing that I hope that things get cordial and whatever. I'm not asking you to be my best friend or anything like that. But I really hope that things get more cordial between us because it feels very much strange. Person, like, I don't want anything to do with you. And so on and so forth. She said some stuff and I had to sit down and wonder, is this really me? Am I going to grab a hold of what this person has said I am? Yes, I may have navigated things incorrectly, but is this who I am? What was my motive? And when I realized that through prior that what she was saying that I am is not who I am and so on, I let it go. And I learned in that moment to not force things. So that's something else that's coming out. Don't force things. Don't overshare things just to be friends with somebody. Let the Lord lead you. Whoever it is that God wants to be your friend, it will come naturally. You don't have to force things and so on and so forth. And long story short, longer story short, I eventually had to let go the guy individual. The Lord showed me that this individual, I was an idol. I eventually idolized things and so on. And that was painful. So may I deal with navigating that female friendship and navigating this friendship with this guy. We weren't in anything, but we're close. Navigating that, like, it was like so dirty, horrible. But it was in that moment that the Lord really started to work in me, show me. And sometimes it takes a lot of mess for us to get the message that God really wanted us to get from the beginning. And to date, the guy individual, I have a spirit of friendliness to that, towards that person. Not gonna broke my neck, but if the person needs help, I'll help. I've learned too that I had a boundaryless life. Like, allowing everybody to be on one level was not right, was not cool. So that's something I had to learn, and that's something that I'm giving out to you. Learn how to create boundaries, emotional boundaries, verbal boundaries, and everything. So I had to talk to the person, we are not that close anymore, guy individual. I am taking a step back, blah, 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 blah. And now there's a spirit of health. So, yeah, create boundaries in how you navigate dealing with the loss, right? So I think I have more to share on this, but I really need to make more notes and then come back. But yeah. If you've made it this far, then thank you so much for listening. The main takeaway looks like, start off, ensure that at the end of the day, your first and most precious friendship is with God. It doesn't make any sense you're friends with everybody else except God. Because if you're not careful, all these things that you're building with these people will crumble. And in my last story, we see that. We literally see that God will show you that this is an idol and you need to get rid of the idol, right? Also, accept that relational dynamics will change over time, and that is okay. Do not hold it against people if you realize that persons have changed in their geographic location, in how they relate, and so on and so forth. Give people grace. Yes, you get hurt, but bring that hurt over to God. Pray for that person. Genuine prayers. If you can help that individual, help that individual, right? Learn how to honor that individual by not sharing stuff that they would have shared in confidence with you, and so on and so forth. Do not, if you can honor their descendants and stuff like that, do that. I'll ask God to activate that spirit of discernment in you, so that whenever it is that someone new comes into your life, you are better able to know how to navigate if this person is a seasonal person or for a lifetime, or even a purpose partner, someone who is going to help you get to the next step, you know? What else may share on? Bring your weeping over to God. It's not easy losing somebody. Give yourself grace as well. There may be times when you feel like you should have gotten over this and you haven't, and that's okay. Learn how to cultivate boundaries in your life. Not everybody needs to be up and about in your business. And you not being up and about in other people's business, it is very much okay not to be so. Remember, just like how you cultivate your circle and so on, others are cultivating it. Respect it. Okay? Also, learn how much it is that you should share with people. Do not try to force things. Do not share things hoping that you'll be friends with everybody. It don't work like that. You realize that you are going to be more hurtful. And lastly, if you realize that you have a friendship holic situation going, just like how, you know, you jump, there are some people who jump from man to man, you jump from friend to friend, take some time to dedicate this issue to God and ask God to expose what the root issue is. Are you searching for love? Are you searching for emotional security, for fitting in, for validation? What are you searching for? Why is it that you can't maintain a friendship, right? So those are my few many words in Jesus's name. In closing, Heavenly Father, I present your sons and daughters before you. You see each and every one of us and what it is that we're faced with. I pray, mighty God, for over our friendships, over our acquaintanceships, over our mentors, over the individuals that we mentor, that we will go about just like you did, Father Jesus, and do it the right way. I pray, oh God, that you will help us to guard our hearts. And in moments, God Almighty, where you allow persons to leave, that you'll give us the grace and the tenacity, the spirit of resilience to bounce back from these debt in our friendships, and to find to find the purpose in them all, to find them as building blocks, to find them as rejection being redirection to the tribe that we really need to go to. I pray, mighty God, against that spirit of heaviness. I pray against God Almighty, that spirit of depression that may fall upon some of your children. Some right now are really, really battling losing someone who physically died, who emotionally died, who spiritually died in their lives. It is not easy, but I pray in the name of Jesus that you will help them to navigate this. God Almighty, I pray, oh God, that you'll continue to cover this platform, mighty Jesus. I pray, oh God, that you'll continue to cover me. Allow me, God Almighty, to be able to be your mouthpiece, to be your vessel, and to bring healing to this land, to be just like Jeremiah, who went about tearing down, rooting up, mighty God, and planting and building up in different nations, mighty God. I thank you for what you have done and what you're about to do, and just continue to equip us with tools to navigate this life. Allow God Almighty each individual to have their godly inner circle, because God Almighty, we know the power of threes, mighty Jesus. We know, mighty God, the power of having other persons in our lives. We know what this power can do, mighty God. So allow it to be so, mighty Jesus. If there are any, God, who have a problem finding Christian friends, I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that you will create the avenue for them to also find their friend, and to give them the grace and everything to go through that removal that you may have for some, even as they're going back to school. Continue to shield them, protect them, and separate them as you separate. You will separate the sheep, your sheep from the goats. Just continue to have thine own sweet way, we pray. Amen. And there we have it. We have just completed this episode. You know, the real pain of losing a friend. Let me know what this episode did for you. You know what? You don't have to tell me. We just have faith, say it really, really came timely and was a blessing for you. And you'll realize that you're not going through this alone if you're going through this, and it will get better. I mean, I don't know about you, but me just talking about it, me feel way better. And I'm just presenting blessings again over those friendships that have reshuffled, some that have died, and so on, to say, God, just bless these individuals more than you bless me, and just ensure that they're in safe spaces where they will strive and strive in your company, in your goodness, in your mercy, and that the friends that they have now will help them to make it into the rapture, just like how I hope that the friends that you've given me now will help me to make it in. Amen. All right, so yeah, may that be an example unto you. God bless you. Listen for the sheep, because that's a reminder that as a sheep you should know the Father's voice. All right, bye.